Well, if there's no announcements, then we'll get started. If you would turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're just going to take a look at just a couple verses here. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and so that's what we'll talk about tonight. And I've been thinking about Thanksgiving. It's interesting because thankfulness is not one of the fruit of the Spirit, but you could see it being right up there with some of the other godly characteristics that a Christian is to.
You know, cheese meals, and I did the dishes.
And so I've been thinking about Thanksgiving or thankfulness, and that's something that I just wanted to kind of talk about for just a couple minutes here. We'll look at 1 Thessalonians 5. We'll start in chapter 5, verse 16. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's not it's not a super high thing that he's calling to, this will of God. It's not something that's completely unattainable, but yet it is, if I look at my own life, something that is unfortunately lacking too often. Give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't matter where you find yourself tonight. That is a situation that the Lord has put you in, and he wants you to be thankful. And so it is this idea of thankfulness is two parts. There's the noun word, thankful or thankfulness. So that's the heart attitude of being thankful. And then there's also the verb form, right, of give thanks. And so it's something that we not only are to be, but it's something that we are to do. And so we express what is in our hearts, which is thankful to God, by giving thanks. And it is not predicated on how we feel. It's not predicated on having particularly good circumstances, as we'll look at from a couple examples. It is, and yet it is, I don't know that it's a command here in 1 Thessalonians, but it is something that we are to be doing. It is at least a sign of somebody who's walking in the Lord that they would be this kind of person, that in all circumstances they would be giving thanks, because as we'll see, that's the sort of person that Jesus was. No matter where he found himself, no matter what the circumstances were, no matter what he was doing or where he was or whatever, he was giving thanks to God. And that's the sort of that's the sort of characteristics our life is supposed to have too. And so we'll take a look at this. Be thankful in all circumstances. And there was two particular examples that stood out to me from the life of Christ. The first one we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul is talking about the Lord's Supper. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 says, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you, the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks. If you were to find out tonight that early in the morning, the police were going to beat down your door, take you into custody because somebody very close to you had lied about you or had done something very bad that caused you to suffer, not even like not even comparable to the Lord Jesus, but if you found out that somebody lied to you, like you knew tonight that this was going to happen early in the morning, would your heart attitude be, I'm going to sit down at dinner and I'm going to give thanks to the Lord? I would have a hard time personally if that was the case. I'm not so sure that my heart attitude would be, you know what, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this that I'm about to receive, this brutal treatment, this whatever is going to be. And yet that is what the Lord's attitude was in that circumstance. He knew what was going to happen. He told them what was going to happen. He said, one of you is going to betray me. And that's exactly what happened. And yet here he was sitting down, giving thanks. He's giving thanks to his Father, who is the giver of all good things. We look at the life of Job, for instance, who, he had all those bad things happen to him. And his wife is like, curse God and die. You know, just what are you doing here? And he's like, should we receive only the good and not the bad? And he keeps, he kept his testimony that way. And we see that here in the life of the Lord Jesus too. And that's a characteristic of somebody who loves God and has been conformed into the image of God, is that there is thankfulness, not just in good times, but in all times, in all circumstances. There's this heart attitude that expresses itself in gratitude back to the Lord. So here's a perfect example from the life of Christ. He's about to be betrayed. The pain of that is real. And yet still here he is giving thanks. Another example from the life of Christ in John chapter 6, I was thinking about today. John chapter 6, starting in verse 1, very familiar passage. Jesus feeds the 5,000. And we'll just sort of read this passage kind of quickly. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. That is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs that he had performed on the sick. And Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not be enough to buy enough bread for each one to have one bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will that go amongst so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, and about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, he gave thanks, and he distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted, and he did the same with the fish. So here's a very common circumstance that we would encounter in our own lives. We have a certain limitation of resources. And Jesus only had a little bit to work with here, right? He only had a very small amount, and he took it and he gave thanks for it to God. And miraculously, God multiplied it, and there was enough for everyone to have. But there was a obviously, Jesus is not on the same, you know, we're not the same as Jesus. We wouldn't be able to do what he did in that circumstance. And yet, there is still this commonality where in our limitations, in our own, you know, in what it is that we do have, are we thankful for that? Are we thankful for what God can do with whatever our limitations are, with whatever amount of resources is that we do have. Do we have that kind of a similar kind of heart attitude in that kind of a circumstance? Because that's something that we'll encounter probably a lot more than loved ones betraying us, dear friends betraying us. It does happen, but in our limitations, are we thankful? And I have to guard my own heart and check my own attitude here, because Jamie and I were just talking not that long ago that it's funny how often, like, this is a great message for me for today. Like, I need to hear this today. I don't know where you guys are at. This message is for me. And it's interesting. I think that teachers are mistakenly thought of as people who have a lot of answers. And I think teachers are the people who need to hear the lessons more than anybody else, because I know that I'm sure that I've learned a lot more from things that I've studied than the persons that I'm giving the message to. So I'm thankful for this today. I need to be reminded that no matter what the circumstances are, our attitude is that of, our attitude is to be like Christ, to be thankful, to be giving thanks to the Father. And then it doesn't stop there. It expresses itself in action. We give thanks. We're not just thankful. We give thanks. And so we, regardless of, again, what the circumstances are, whatever, wherever we find ourselves today, you look throughout the epistles that Paul writ, the epistles that Paul wrote, he starts almost all of them by saying, I thank my God every time for you. And whoever he's talking to, he talks about how thankful he is for those people. And when you think about it, it's interesting because some of the people he's addressing and he's being thankful for, the things that he addresses in the letters, oftentimes, they're not great things. You think about the letters to the Corinthians and some of the problems that they're having in those churches, and yet Paul's attitude is thankfulness for them. And you think about some of the circumstances that Paul found himself in writing these letters. He's in prison. He's living in the time of Nero, who's not a good... Joe Biden's got nothing on Nero, right? Like, we're not even talking about on the same level of circumstances. I mean, he's in prison. He's being mistreated. And here he is saying, I thank my God every time for you. Here's his heart attitude expressing itself, thankfulness, no matter where he is, no matter what he's doing. And that should be the flavor of our lives as well. So we see it in Christ's attitude, but we see in Christ's expectations as well. Luke chapter 17 and verses 11 to 19, Jesus heals the 10 lepers. And so Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were clean. They were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Jesus was not looking to be thanked. He was looking for his Father to be thanked and for his Father to be praised. Jesus was not that interested in people making a great deal about who he was. He spoke the truth. He said, this is who I am. I'm the Son of God. I've come to, you know, to seek and save that was lost. But he was always pointing people to the Father. That was his ministry, was, look, I'm pointing you to the Father. And so he wasn't particularly miffed that nobody returned to say thank you to him. He's like, did no one, was only one found to return to give praise to God, to thank my Father for this thing that he's done? Because all of them were cleansed, all of them. So there is this expectation that people who come in contact with Jesus would have this kind of character, that we would be this kind of person who would in turn turn around and thank God for whatever the circumstances that they find themselves in. These men were miraculously healed. That was not a common experience for people with leprosy. And I think we see from his attitude and from his expectations, this is what is expected from us. And we see that again in 1 Thessalonians. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, that in all circumstances we will give thanks. And Jamie and I were actually have been talking about this kind of a graph that I made. It looks backwards on my screen. I'm not sure if it shows it backwards for you guys, but it doesn't really matter.
It's showing right.
Okay.
It's showing the right way for us.
Okay. The concept you'll understand. As life goes on, you start out with a high purpose, and as life goes on, your purpose sort of just naturally declines. A lot of times you start off in life with very small amount of resources, and as life goes on, you usually gain more. As far as resources go, you could think of it as money, possessions, time, ability, power, influence, different things like that. Usually when you're born and a very young person, you don't have very much of any of those things. As you go, usually this is not 100% across the board, but usually this is a pretty common sort of life. As you go, you typically gain more resources. Usually as you go, your purpose sort of goes down. I think purpose could be thought of as the hope that we have for things to come. It's a sense of belonging or duty. There's being fulfilled or finding satisfaction in life's experiences. It's interesting because Jamie and I were talking recently. It's interesting because we're kind of reaching this point where we've checked off a lot of the boxes of things that you sort of expect to do in life. You grow up, you get married, you have kids, you buy a house, you have a job. There's all these things that you do. And then when you've done them all, you sort of think to yourself, kind of like, what's next, right? Like, we've sort of done a lot of the things that we've sort of wanted to do or expected to do or whatever it is. And so, like, even now we see, like, our kids are still pretty little, so our purpose is pretty high still. But, like, I can definitely understand how, you know, once the kids have grown and once the, whatever it is, like, you're not as involved in as much in their lives, or you're not as involved in different things, like your purpose, I can totally understand why your purpose would seemingly naturally just sort of like go down. And it's not that you can't be used in other areas, but like, I think this is just a very natural thing. You work yourself out of a job, like with parenting or whatever. And so like, as things go along, you just sort of lose your purpose, which is funny because a lot of times by the end of your life, you have tons of time, probably more resources than you've ever had, and you have nothing to do with it. So it's kind of funny, but like the point of all this is that no matter where you find yourself, like you can be thankful. And I think it's a start to say, well, I'm thankful for the things that like, maybe we're only thankful for the things that like haven't happened, or like the things that we aren't. Like, I'm thankful that I don't have, you know, some kind of critical life-threatening illness. I can be thankful for that. I don't think that's a great thing to be thankful for. I don't think that's, I think God would have us to be thankful for the things that we are, for the things that he has given us, for the real things, not thankful for things that aren't happening or things that we aren't or things that haven't happened or whatever, but for the reality of the things that actually are, we can be thankful. And, you know, that's not always easy to do. I remember one specific time where we'd come out to our car when we were living in North Carolina. We're getting ready to go to church and we had a flat tire. And Jamie is a marvelous woman. And she said, what is something that we can be thankful for? And in that moment, I was just like, I don't have any idea. There's nothing to be thankful for. We have a flat tire in our car. And she rattled off 10 things without even thinking. She's just like, well, I'm glad it didn't happen when we were driving. And I'm glad that it didn't happen whenever this situation was. And I'm thankful that we're, you know, at home safe and that it's not this and it's not that. And I'm just like, I've got to work on my heart because this, she is light years ahead of me. But I think that's, you know, I think that's a good attitude for us all to continue to try to strive for, is that that would be our heart attitude, and that we would be finding ways regularly to express it regardless of where we find ourselves today. You know, there's a number of things that personally, like, I'm finding myself in that are very confusing. Family relationships that I wish were other, and they're not, you know, they're just not where I would choose for them to be. And yet God bore me into the family that he bore me into, and he's used those circumstances to reveal himself to me. And so I can be thankful for them. You know, one of our sons has COVID right now. Nobody else in the family has it. We can be thankful that, you know, I was feeling pretty bad because the kids started school this year. And recently I was talking to Jamie, I'm just not seeing them very much because I work in the evenings and they're going to school in the day and I just haven't been able to see them. Well, we've been able to spend basically the whole week together, and it's been a real blessing to be able to have that time with them. And, you know, we can be thankful that the one son who has COVID, that his symptoms aren't particularly that bad. There's so much that we can be thankful for. And I just would like to encourage us all, not just as we go into tomorrow, which we can be very thankful tomorrow, but as we go into every day for the rest of our lives, to try to foster this kind of attitude, because that's the example that Christ set for us. And there is an expectation that we would live that way. And so that's my encouragement to you, that we would press on in thankfulness no matter where we find ourselves. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for, first and foremost, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came into the world and that he died for sinners like me, like us. Thank you that that is a gift that is free to us at a great, great cost to you. Lord, we do want to live lives that are pleasing to you and lives that honor you. May we exhibit this kind of thankfulness in whatever circumstance you put us in, that our eyes would be focused on you, that we would be able to recognize that all things that we go through are for our good, for your glory, and that we would just be able to be a very strong light in a world that is increasingly selfish and self-centered and ungrateful, that this sort of thankfulness would give us a sweet smelling aroma to you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.